Although the year's been very hard for many of us, in different ways it's been hard for all of us, we have much to praise the Lord for. In our church, for instance, we've seen growth in numbers, but more than that, we've seen people growing in their love and knowledge of God through the year. We've also just celebrated the coming of God's Son to earth in his great love. That's another great reason we have to praise him. He didn't leave us alone. We're not alone. There are many other reasons to praise him. We'll remember some of them today. So starting with a song of praise seems like a good thing to do. And that's what Psalm 100 is. It's a song of praise. If you have a Bible there, you can see there's a heading. And I'm sorry, Bryn, I didn't mention this to you before. My fault. I should have said, make sure you read the heading. I didn't, sorry. Because I wanted to point out the heading. If you've got a Bible there, the italics in many of the Bibles, the script just under the Psalm 100 writing, this heading there, it's a heading that talks about what the psalm is about. In fact, most of the headings in the psalms do that. They give us some special information. And just as an aside, the kind of section headings in most of our Bibles, in my Bible they're bold over the top of the thing, those are just, they're not actually part of the Bible text. They're something the editors have put in later. They're not part of the inspired text of the Bible. They help us find our place. They're useful. But they're not really part of the text, so we wouldn't usually read them in our reading. Sometimes we do in our Bible reads, but generally probably not. It's best just to read the text that's there. But the Psalms are different. The headings in the Psalms are an original part of the text. They're part of the inspired word of the Lord. They're there to be taken notice of, and they have often help you understand the psalm better in important ways. Now, in this case, the heading says it's a psalm for giving grateful praise. So that's what the psalm is. It's a psalm for giving grateful praise. And there's a number of calls in this psalm to praise God, and a number of reasons given for that praise. So the psalm will say, praise God, and then it's as if someone asks, why should I praise God? And then it gives a reason. And then it does that over and again. So we basically have a call to praise, and then why, and then a call to praise, and then why. That's basically how this psalm rolls. I think there are some outlines in the service sheets there if that helps you. But that's where we're going today with this psalm, relatively briefly. It's a brief psalm. Let's jump into it. The first call to praise is a shout for joy. So verses 1 and 2 again. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. We see here a little bit of the nature of praise. It's a shout, a gladness overflowing. It's indeed joy in God overflowing. Shout to the Lord. And with that, it's important that we give our joy in God a chance to overflow. What I mean by that is, if we want to be people who praise, who kind of overflow with praise to the Lord, and of course the joy that comes with that, if we want to be like that, then we need to give that joy the opportunity to take root in us. And a key to doing that is spending time focusing on the good things that we have in the Lord. We'll talk more about what some of those good things are, but it's vital to spend time thinking about them, considering them, focusing on them. It's very easy, and the news cycles push us towards and various things, focusing on what's not so great, focusing on negative things, focusing on what's hard. It's very important that we focus on the good things we have in the Lord in order for us to overflow with praise. It is a much higher chance that joy and praise are going to come out of you if you're focusing on the good things of God. Of course, that doesn't mean our praise is always calculated. It doesn't mean we always think, well, this morning I'm going to do this much and then I'm going to praise this much. It's okay to plan to praise. That's good. But what you'll find, I think, is that as you focus on and store up the good things we have to praise God for, you store those up in your heart, sometimes it'll just hit you. And something will just grab you and you'll just think, Lord, this is so fantastic. And praise will come out of you. There's more here said about praise, though, even in this first bit. Verse 2, worship the Lord, it says. Part of shouting for joy, part of this call for praise, is worshiping the Lord. And worship is often misunderstood. Literally, the word here is serve the Lord. That's what it literally is. Because worship and service are actually very tightly intertwined. Worship is more than just a feeling. It's more than just singing in church. That can be part of it, but it's more than that. It's service of the Lord. Indeed, worship is more than just our words. It's not less than our words, but it's more. And so praise moves us in the direction of worshipful service of the Lord. And why not? If the Lord's so great to praise, why wouldn't you want to worshipfully serve him? So here's this call to praise. Shout for joy and worship to the Lord. But then someone might ask, why? Why should you shout for joy and worshipfully serve him? Well, the answer given here is, look at what you've done, Lord. Look at what you've done. Verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It's he who made us. And we are his. We are his people. And the sheep of his pasture. The psalmist here is telling us what God has done. He's saying, you want to know why you should praise him? I'll tell you why. Look at what he's done. Firstly, look at what he's done in creation. He made us. God made us. Firstly, in the sense that he made all things. He's the creator of all things, the wonderful mountains, the beautiful seas, the sunsets that we take in on a North Canterbury evening, the big moon that we saw on the horizon. My family and I saw the other night and were amazed. The just beautiful blue summer sky. It's all God's idea. It's all his idea. And it's these things that fill us with awe are a little reflection of his awesomeness, his greatness. But also, he made us, so he made us in the sense that he made everything and he made us as part of that, but he also made us as his people. When it says he made us there in verse 3, it's he who made us. The language used there points to it. Probably what the psalmist has particularly in mind is his creation of the people of Israel. So his creation of them as a people. The same language is used in other places that talk about God making Israel through the Exodus. He made this nation of Israel when they weren't a people. He made them into a people from a nation of slaves. And that is part of what he's got in mind when he's talking about making us. And of course, he's done that for us as Christians. He's made us his people, brought us together in the church, joined us together in his wonderful work of salvation, brought us under Christ, as our other reading from Ephesians said. We are his people. We're the work of his salvation. We're the people of his pasture. So praise him. Praise him. And to praise him is to say, look at what you've done, Lord. Look at the wonder of creation. Let that wonder overflow into praise for the Lord. The beauty of the world, even when things are difficult and ravaged and tricky, and even when we sin and it messes things up, nevertheless, the world is still beautiful. It's still wonderful. And the wonder of our salvation. We are the special people of God. We are the people that he's made his own. And he's doing wonderful things in saving people. We're just an illustration of this. We're part of the Anglican denomination. And do you know what the average Anglican looks like? You might think an old English man with a funny collar like this or something. But no, the average Anglican in the world at the moment would be a Nigerian woman. Now, there will be one of the most common types of Anglican people in the world at the moment, a woman from Nigeria, because God is doing extraordinary things in Africa and many other places, saving millions of people, and not just through Anglicans, even though, you know, I might think, no, he's doing it through Baptists and all kinds of people. So God is doing extraordinary things. There's reason to praise him. And we've seen it here, haven't we? We've seen it at this church. We've had 3 baptisms this year, and they've all been fantastic. One of them was our brother Ryan, who spoke of the astounding way God has saved him so that he couldn't even recognize himself from 18 months ago. God's been at work to change him. We've seen that. See, look at what you've done, Lord, in creation, in salvation. Look at what you've done. Well, there's another call to praise here as well. It's not just shout for joy. There's also enter his gates with thanksgiving. Verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. The idea here is a call to come before the Lord in praise, coming to him in his presence. The gates and the courts, of course, brings to mind the temple, the special place of God's presence in the Old Testament, and coming into his presence to praise him. Indeed, recognizing that being with him is in itself a cause for praise. Something to remind yourself of and consciously take hold of. I'm in the presence of the God of the universe. And as Christians, we're able to be in the presence of the Lord all the time. It's an incredible privilege. And it's because he has chosen to dwell in us. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit, God's presence, dwelling with us always. We are never alone, truly. Never apart from his loving presence. And so as we're in his presence, it seems right, doesn't it, to give him praise. So come to him and praise him. And if you would still ask why, well, the psalmist would tell us. Look at who you are, Lord. Look at who this one in whose presence we dwell is. Look at his character, his nature. Verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is focusing in on his character. Praise him because of who he is. In his goodness, first of all, seen above all in Christ, who made himself low to save us, who came to us as a helpless baby, as we've remembered this weekend, humbled himself so much, but even more, humbled himself to be beaten and mocked and slain for us in order to save us, giving himself and his glory up for our good. Out of his steadfast, unbreaking, never giving up, always and forever love. His love which endures forever. That's what he's like. That's how good he is. That's who this God is that we're in the presence of. That's who this God is who is our Father. That's how good he is. But also, not only is he good, he's faithful. His faithfulness continues through all generations. He didn't abandon his people. He didn't abandon his people then in the time of the psalm. He won't ever abandon us. He is faithful. He's so faithful that no matter what you might go through, he will never, ever leave you. No matter what we as his people might go through, he will never, ever leave us. He is faithful. So, praise him. Praise him. I know we don't always feel like praising. Things can be very hard, and they have been very hard for many of us at many points recently. We can get weary, tired, we can get dejected, we can feel flat, worried, we can just start to feel apathetic, like we don't feel very much. And I understand that completely. I've often felt all of those things myself. But when we feel like that, let's dwell again on these good things of God, his love and his faithfulness. Let's say these things aloud to ourselves. Read them out aloud in psalms like this. Sing them in the words of the songs we have. We're going to sing these wonderful words written many years ago that we've kind of reworked in the song, which is based on Psalm 100. We're going to sing that shortly. Use these words to praise the Lord and to remind yourself of the goodness of him. You see, when you make that effort to praise God, after a while, it makes you feel like praising him more. It's like a snowball going down the mountain. It gains momentum. When you make the effort, praise becomes more natural. When you make remembering his goodness, remembering the great things he's done, part of what you do, then it's more natural and more obvious to praise him. So, praise him. He has made us. He has saved us. The Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness endures. Look at what you've done, Lord. Look at who you are, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Amen.